That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like a paparazzi chase, or a cave collapse, or kitchen accidents.
Ooh. And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like bad coffee, or dead baby mice, or waitressing.
I laughed a little too hard at that.
Yes.
Waitressing does make me want to die. And you know what doesn't make me want to die?
Our theme song.
You got it.
Hit it.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna.
Christine.
Hey.
Garen.
Hello.
Garen's drinking some sort of fancy Starbucks drink. What is it? Apple crisp?
Apple crisp oat milk macchiato.
Are there like crisps floating around in it?
It's probably all sorts of chemicals.
Great.
Is it actually a coffee drink?
Yeah.
But he just revealed that he doesn't enjoy coffee.
I can drink this yes. By the gallon and a gingerbread latte.
So just so it doesn't have the taste of coffee to it.
So it's
there's just
sweet
a hint.
And
just the slightest hint.
But I love the smell of coffee.
Huh. So good.
But I can't stand, the taste of it just does not.
Interesting.
It doesn't do it for me.
I can't stand the smell of Starbucks coffee, like when I walk in there.
Really?
Oh, I think it smells disgusting because I don't think their coffee's good.
It's not great.
Cap on that.
But I also worked there, so then I'd go
home. Oh, and you reek of.
I reek of it.
Yeah.
And so that might. I do love the smell of coffee, but just not Starbucks.
I used to reek of popcorn when I worked at the movie theater.
But do you like the smell of popcorn still?
I do, yeah. But I told you the smell of the hot dogs on the grill.
Ooh.
And then having to clean the grill, the smell of the chemicals and the hot dogs. It was so disgusting. Yeah, that was horrible.
Is that, do you think, what turned you off of meat forever?
I was already not eating... I was already not eating meat by then.
Okay.
Yeah. Nope, that's not what turned me off.
Okay.
No.
Think you'll ever go back?
No, I think at this point.
it's a done deal.
Sometimes I have dreams that mm-hmm. I forget if I eat fish or chicken and I accidentally eat chicken and then I start panicking. That is a recurring dream I have. Because I do eat fish.
My old roommate was militantly vegan.
Uh-huh.
Militant, to the point where he destroyed a grill because I was going to have people come over for a barbecue.
He sounds fun.
He has confessed to me that he has started eating venison.
What?
He's like, well, it's locally. He's in Hawaii now. It's local and it's sustainable, and they have to because of overpopulation.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. Still,
like, okay.
Though, that seems extreme.
Yeah.
Because that's deer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that, but I don't know how your digestive system would react. Being vegan all that time and then eating meat. I mean, I know more ex-vegans than vegans. Like everyone seems to drop out at
vegan's
some point.
Vegan's tough. I think that's
my brother was
one.
Vegan, but he was true to it. But I know some people are like, they're just, they live in extremes, I guess. So they're vegan and then they're the next year they're eating venison.
It was shocking. Like it was phone falling to the ground. Shocking. Like I'm in a telenovela.
Some people need it to be extreme.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's their personalities. Someone said that to me at Pickleball. Do you think this is an appropriate thing to say to someone? I didn't know them.
Okay.
And they just said, they had played with me and Oliver.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, he surpassed you.
No, that's rude.
That's kind of rude, right?
Yeah, I don't care for it.
I know that. But yeah. He hasn't surpassed me. He was always better than me. But she doesn't know that.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, well, we were getting along and then you said something a little bit rude.
You know what I would have done? You're a cunt.
With a big C on your...
Yeah.
Okay. Can you do that? I've never seen that.
No, I just made it up. Like, you know, when people go
like,
loser.
Yeah.
But instead...
Just round it and it's a C.
Make it a C, you're a cunt.
0 to 60.
It is a little bit.
0 to 90.
You know what? I'm 50 now. And I just...
You don't give a fuck.
No more suffering fools.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't know that I'm a fragile bird of a person.
That's how you let her know.
I just thought, huh. I know she meant it in a jovial way, like, oh, the child surpassed.
Yeah,
but, I get it. But it was like, he's, yeah.
There's certain things, though, that people enjoy saying. I think it's people who aren't funny, maybe. Like, I remember once, this is not the same, but like somebody was at my house and there was a picture. There's a picture I have in a frame and it's of Sven and I. And it's before we were, it's like when we were first dating.
Okay.
And we're in a photo together and we look really happy. We were really happy. Look, we still love each other. And.
Okay, defensive.
God.
No one was saying anything.
It just, the way.
It's all fine.
It's all fine, guys. Jeez. And she goes, you guys were so young.
Oh, no one needs to hear that.
And I was like, fuck you. I did the thing. See, cunt. I get it. I know I'm not young anymore. That's clear. I don't need to hear it out loud.
But it's just such an unnecessary thing to say. Of course, everyone was once young.
Yeah.
Just no preposterous, strange thing to say.
Also, it's just like, why would you ever say that to a woman as a woman? But like, she relished in saying it.
It was. Is she your age?
Yeah.
Weird.
She relished it.
Did you go, like it. Huh, so were you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then just walk away.
Were you ever?
Yeah.
Head toss.
See that lady over there? She used to be the one I hated the most. You surpassed her. You can have that for free.
Thank you. I like it. All right. Should we get into today's topic is what
Let's
I'm wondering.
Do it.
Okay. I'm going to give you some warnings right now. Garen, this is going to be very hard on you.
Oh, boy.
Christine, your warning is that you should listen to every single word. We are talking about how to survive kitchen disasters.
Oh, yeah, I've had some of those.
You have. And we have gone over a couple of these things before, but we're going to go over more. Okay, so the three most common kitchen accidents, knives.
Ooh, yes.
Knives are everywhere in the kitchen, in the sink, on the surfaces, and in the cupboards and drawers. They are not easy to avoid. Knife cuts and lacerations are the most common accidents in the kitchen. Blunt knives, I found this interesting, are common culprits of causing you to slip while... Oh, this is from a British website. Whilst chopping food.
Oh.
You need to be aware of this when using them and avoid hurting yourself or others. So in other words, it's if the knife isn't sharp enough, it's not going to go directly into what you're cutting. It's going to slip and get you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Okay. You must also be careful when reaching into the sink or washing up bowl.
Washing up bowl.
Yeah. I guess you use your tea towel with your washing up bowl.
Not your jumper.
This can cause you to get a cut from a knife underneath the bubbles. Not only that, but blood from the cut may also contaminate the water. So you should also consider that. Now listen to this.
I'm ready.
As if there wasn't a rise in anti-Semitism enough as it is right now.
Oh, no.
Cutting your hand while slicing a bagel.
That's so anti-Semitic.
One of the biggest causes of knife injuries in the kitchen is actually from cutting a bagel.
Not an avocado?
That comes up later, actually, in our story. This has become a common injury. This has become a common injury.
You got to get a bagel slicer.
Well, I was going to say that. You do want to get a bagel slicer. Remember we had those at Style Network?
I do.
And they are a godsend.
Bagel,
you ever used a bagel slicer?
Thursday.
It's like a little guillotine for bagels.
A guillotine.
So anyway, they're saying that this happens so much that they've actually given it a medical term, which is BRI, or bagel-related injury.
Wait, back up a second.
I know, England.
Did you guys just both say guillotine?
Guillotine.
Well, I said bagel, baguillotine, baguillotine.
Baguillotine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Baguillotine. To avoid such injuries, make sure you place it flat on a kitchen surface when cutting, yes, rather than cutting it in your hand. Who does that?
Who's cutting it in their hand?
That is crazy.
Look at his face.
Do
look
you
at his
do
face.
That? Do you cut it?
I do this.
No, Karen.
But let me tell you, this is the honest truth. Every time I'm in the kitchen doing something, I think, what happens if I fuck up and hurt myself? Because I'd be by myself for most of the time.
Uh-huh. That's a good thought to
but
have.
But I go so slow, and it's only, I don't get sealed bagels. Mine are usually pre-cut.
Yeah.
But they have the little thing in the middle. Oh, so you just cut. Just go a little deep, and then
you know you can just rip those apart if they're already pre-cut.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, I don't know.
Dude. Okay.
I'm going to say two things.
Anxious if there's too much bagel on one side.
Don't cut them in your hand, obviously. And second, did you hear what he just get said? Some real bagels.
What? He gets anxious if there's too much bagel on one side.
Karen.
I like a uniform
how
slice.
How do you get out of the house in the morning?
I think, Jesus Christ. Listen, we need to either up your dose or get you on a dose.
More doses is the problem.
I hope you don't have pills you have to cut in half.
Oh,
we actually have a pill cutter. It's extremely satisfying.
We do too.
Because we have this one.
Is it a box?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Where it's hinged.
Yes. We have that
and
too.
And then you can put like four or five pills in at once.
Oh.
Okay. So what do you do is there's this dial that widen, you know, like, I'm going to make a Star Wars reference. You know, like the walls in Star Wars when they
crush. Yes, when
crush,
they come in.
Right. So you dial it so it goes out. You yes. put the, you line up the pills, mm-hmm. then you dial it back for a nice snug fit.
Mm.
Then you guillotine.
Oh,
slice
satisfying.
Them and they all chop in half.
Love that. We
it's
that's the Mercedes of
it
pill
is.
Cutters.
Well, who do I live with?
Yeah, we have like a, you know, Prius.
The number two thing after knife injuries, slipping in spilt liquids.
Oh, yeah.
Unattended spillages can lead to slips and trips, which could then lead to escalated accidents.
Like head injuries.
Yeah. If someone falls onto knives, I'm not sure why.
Oh, my God. Have you ever dropped a knife, though, and then like moved your feet out of the way really quickly?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's happens
scary.
In our house a lot.
Oh, Jesus. You need your kids to have like Velcro attached to their hands and every object that's in your house. If someone falls onto knives, another person or something hot, that can lead to further injuries. This highlights the importance of keeping cleaning supplies and a wet floor sign. This is like an industry in a kitchen in a restaurant.
This is the bear.
Exactly. A wet floor sign close by and dealing with a spillage immediately. If you are at home, you may want to avoid letting children or pets in the kitchen whilst
they're
you are
all
cooking.
In there.
Yep. You've got a dead mouse.
Yep.
Children.
Yes.
Dog, cat.
Yes.
Turtle.
Two turtles,
a snake, yep. And soon to be chickens.
Well, that's yet to be decided. Sally gets nervous for some reason and wants to be literally up against my legs when
aww.
I'm in the kitchen sometimes, aww. Like just crowded against my leg while I'm trying to get stuff in and out of
Sally.
The oven. And like I'll be pouring pasta into the
God.
Sink and I'm like, Sally, you got to get out of here. This is not safe.
Oh, boy. If you were at, okay, this eliminates possible trip hazards that can easily be missed. I'm going to skip that.
Oh, you know, one other thing that's really slippery that isn't a liquid?
Yeah.
Flour.
Oh.
On the floor is very slippery. I've realized just because the kids do a lot of things with flour and they're also, you know, kids, so it gets messy on the floor. And I'll be like, oh, it's so slippery. Oh, head injury.
There are so many elements in the kitchen that could lead to a scald or a burn. Here's a list. Okay, so wait. I guess. The next one is, Okay, the next one is burns. You are very familiar with this.
Very familiar.
There are so many elements in the kitchen that could lead to a scald or a burn. Here's a list of possible causes of burns in the kitchen. Burns from a hot oven, grill, oven tray, surfaces, or this is a word that they use in England, hob. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
Okay,
it sounds like
I looked it up.
Broomsticks and
bed knobs.
Yep, that one.
The hob is the top of an oven, but I think in England maybe they have just something that's burners that can also be called the hob. Like there's no oven under it, it's just burners.
Oh, that's what ours is. It's separate.
What?
Yeah.
You have it like built into the counter.
Yeah, our range.
Yes.
Is that what it's called? The top is the range?
Yes.
Is separate from our oven.
Oh,
it's
in two different places. I realize that now.
It's so weird.
Anyway, you have a hob.
Ah.
Use an oven glove.
Yes.
Pot holder.
Yes.
Instead of a kitchen towel to help avoid these. Flames from flambéing, which is cooking with alcohol or cooking with hot oil. I'm guessing he is 2 years away from flambéing.
Or that could be happening at any point.
Yeah. Burns from boiling water, spits and splashes from a pan or pot. I've definitely done that.
Yes.
One way to avoid this is to make sure that pan handles on the stove are facing inwards.
Oh.
So that they don't get knocked over.
I always face them, not towards me, but
out.
Yeah. I don't know. I should do what you're saying.
Hot food burns. You could just burn yourself on the actual food.
Done that.
Kitchen fires. This may seem extreme, but make sure you have a fire blanket or fire extinguisher available for
fire
such occasions.
Blanket. Didn't even know you could have a fire blanket.
It's probably British for, you know, zip up sweater or something. Fire blanket.
It's a tea cozy.
Yeah. Okay. This I found interesting. Refrigerators also proved menacing. This is from a study, but I'm just reading this part because I've found it interesting.
Please.
Refrigerators also proved menacing,
causing
more than 44,000 injuries.
No.
Among these fridge-induced ailments, the most common was internal head injury.
Oh, my God. What?
Likely the result of getting accidentally bludgeoned when another person opens the door.
Oh, Jesus.
Or you live in a sitcom, basically.
Yeah.
Or perhaps when putting away groceries in both the fridge and freezer simultaneously.
Oh, yeah.
Faces were injured most often by tableware.
Tableware?
Such as bowls and mugs.
So you're just like flinging it and you accidentally hit somebody in the face or on purpose?
I think they just fall out of the cupboard onto your face.
Oh.
I don't know. Injuries to other parts. Oh, no, I guess you're right. Stuff in the, I don't know. Injuries to other parts of the head frequently stemmed from the refrigerator, a fact that further supports our aforementioned. Okay, I'm going to skip that. Food is integral to holiday festivities, but cooking on special occasions can be a recipe for disaster. Christmas witnessed more than 6,200 injuries.
Well, that's because families are arguing.
Yeah, they're throwing butter dishes at each other. Yeah.
They're using food as weapons.
Oh, I thought this was interesting. Interestingly, Father's Day accounted for roughly 4,100 injuries as well. Perhaps thankful children and wives attempt to cook a nice meal for the fathers in their lives and their kindness results in injury.
Mm, I have a different theory.
What is your theory?
That people are upset about their fathers not being good dads and they injure them with chicken wings or drumsticks.
It's so specific.
Yeah.
I was going to say that maybe you take your mother out for Mother's Day, but Father's Day you just make it home.
They want a barbecue.
That's the other thing I thought of is barbecuing, yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you how to deal with these injuries.
Please.
If you do get cut while using a kitchen knife, here's how to treat the wound. Clean it with soap and water.
Apply yes.
pressure to the cut with a clean cloth. That's what I could use that cheesecloth for. Now that I'm probably never going to use it again. Or bandage for a few minutes to stop the bleeding. If you bleed through the cloth, place another one on top of it. Use antibacterial ointment. If it's a minor wound, dab a little of this over the cut. Cover the area with bandage or gauze pad and adhesive tape. Go to the emergency room if the bleeding is severe or doesn't stop after 5 to 20 minutes of direct pressure. If the cut is longer than 1/2 inch, has jagged edges, becomes Ooh. Inflamed or oozes fluid, you'll need to see your doctor too.
Ooh.
So I know I've talked before about how I sliced off my hand off with a mandolin. When I was using
oh,
that.
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And how Jimmy said that I was like, oh, I'm fine, even though I was in extreme pain. And then eventually I was like, oh, yeah, we need to go. First degree burn. This involves just the top layer of skin. It looks red and is painful like sunburn. When you press on the burned area, it turns white. To treat it, remove any clothing or jewelry that's near the burn. If your clothes are stuck to it, don't remove them. Place the injured area under cool running water for 3 to 5 minutes. Apply an antibiotic ointment. Never ice, oil, or butter to your wound. Cover it with a clean bandage. It should heal in 3 to 6 days. Second degree burn. This is a deeper skin injury. It turns red, blisters, swells, and hurts. To treat it, soak the burned area in cool water for 15 to 30 minutes. Apply the antibiotic cream to prevent infection. Cover the area with a sterile dressing. Change the dressing each day and check for signs of infection. These include increased redness, swelling, pain, and pus. This wound will take 2 to 3 weeks to heal. It'll also start to itch, but don't scratch it. Third degree burn. This is a medical emergency. Cover the wound in a cool, wet dressing and call 911 or head to the nearest emergency room. This type of severe burn involves all layers of skin and will have white or blackened tissue on top. It might not hurt much. That's because the nerves in the skin are damaged. What did Benjamin have?
Third.
Oh, my poor baby.
Yeah.
Not sure how bad your burn is? See your doctor right away if it involves your face, hands, feet, or genitals. Is on or near a joint, such as your knee or shoulder, goes all the way around a part of your body, like your arm or a leg, is longer than 3 inches across, or goes deeply into the skin. Okay, first aid for falls. Water that sloshes out of an overfilled pot onto the floor can be a slippery hazard. If you fall, follow these steps. Make sure you're not hurt before standing up. Getting up the wrong way could make the injury worse. Slowly rise to your hands and knees. Try to crawl to a chair and pull yourself up. If you can't get up on your own, yell for help or call 911. If the area is swollen and you think you might have a fracture, which is a broken bone,
yeah,
try not to move it. Call your doctor or go to the emergency room. I love all these things that are like, call your doctor. Have you ever tried to call your doctor?
Oh,
it's just like a switchboard to an answering service to a... I mean, it's just... You can't... I don't know what world people live in that they call their doctor.
Yeah, is this the 1800s?
I don't know.
You can't call a doctor.
I know. I never understand that. First aid for eye injuries. What should you do if you accidentally shoot lemon juice straight into your eye or get splashed with bleach?
Oh, God.
While cleaning up, don't panic. Follow these steps. Lean over the sink and pour a gentle stream of lukewarm water over your eye. Keep flushing it out for 15 minutes. Cover your other eye to protect it. Call the National Poison Control Center. If your eye is still irritated after you flush it out, call your doctor. Call 911 if you have a cut in your eye.
Ugh.
Don't wash or apply pressure. I know, that's... If you feel like... Are you okay over there, Garrett? I know.
Oof.
You feel like an object is stuck in your eye. Don't try to get it out, rub it, or apply pressure to it. What if you swallowed something poisonous? Even normally safe kitchen products can become deadly if they're swallowed. That's why it's important to keep all household cleaners and chemicals stored safely and out of children's reach. If you or someone else accidentally swallow something poisonous, call the National Poison Control Center. If possible, take the chemical product with you. We've talked about that before. The hospital. Oh, yeah.
Question. You might not know this from your research, but I'm just curious. I'm curious.
You're curious?
I'm curious what you guys think.
Yeah.
Say you drop a knife and it gets stuck. Do you think you pull it out or you leave it in?
Every time I see that in a movie, I wonder what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. That's such a good question. What are your thoughts, Gary?
Have an answer because I would probably pass out instantly.
Yeah, you would.
So...
Because, yeah, it's like sometimes in movies they'll pull it out.
And then apply pressure. Yeah. But sometimes they're like, no, that'll release too much blood.
Or it's like if it's in internal organs, it feels like you shouldn't take it out because it's like protecting the organs from bleeding out. And they don't want to take it. Like if it's in your side, you go, maybe don't take that out because it's stabbing into your whatever organs those are.
Yeah, I do not know. Okay, keeping kids safe in the kitchen. You want them to help out in the kitchen, but you don't want them to get hurt. Here's how you can keep the little chef safe. Keep them at least 3 feet away from all bubbling pots and pans on the stove and away from the oven. Install safety gates to keep toddlers out of harm's way. Don't let them use the stove, toaster oven, or microwave without your help. Store all knives and other sharp objects out of their reach. Turn your hot water heater down to 120 degrees so they can't get burned. Use plastic bowls instead of glass so they won't shatter if dropped. Teach your kids to avoid hot stoves and ovens to stay away from chemicals. Make sure that your smoke detectors are working. Keep a fire extinguisher handy. Okay. Are you ready for some mini stories?
Mini stories.
So, the Phoenix News Times talked to a bunch of professional chefs. So these
I love
are,
that paper.
Don't you? Is it? It's like, can you believe that it is still going strong after all this time?
Oh, I'm so glad it is.
I know. A beacon in a world of darkness.
It is. It's a light of hope.
They just talked to a bunch of professional chefs. So these are okay. not things that happened in home kitchens. These are things that happened in restaurant kitchens.
Love it.
Okay. So this is from, and they're just a bunch of little ones because they were all short stories.
Little chefs?
Little. They're all, which, you know, you can get in a lot of trouble because you reach up for that pot of water on the stove. Boom. Falls right on you.
I have a little chef. Very similar story.
Isn't Little Chefs the competition show for that's going against MasterChef Junior? Little Chef?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it should be. Eric Flack, co-owner of Tonto Bar and Grill. That's problematic.
Yeah, I'll say.
And Cartwright. That's
my mother's maiden name.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, the Cartwrights.
Well, it's also the name of Bonanza. Yeah.
Bananagramzas.
Cartwright's Sonoran Ranch House said, I was doing an ice carving for Columbus Day, a 3-block tall sailboat. I was doing what?
I'm just like, there's so many things where it's like,
I know.
It's Tonto's.
In Phoenix.
And they're doing an ice carving probably of Columbus for Columbus Day.
Oh, right. 3-block tall sailboat. Right.
Yep.
I was doing some final touches. Do they call that a sailboat? No, it's a ship.
I don't know. There's just so many problems with all of this.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was doing some final touches. I didn't really realize that. I was doing some final touches with my chainsaw, and the tallest sail broke. I let go of the chainsaw with one hand and tried to catch the sail as it was falling. I did catch it, but it was so heavy that my hand came down on top of the still running chainsaw.
Oh!
I wrapped up my hand and headed to the ER for lots and lots of stitches. I was lucky that I didn't lose any fingers, but my hand looked like hamburger.
Oh! Hamburger is always a horrible reference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very effective.
Chris Osborne, owner of Cadillac Ranch. On our cameras, I saw two cooks get into what started as a play fight and ended in one of the cooks stabbing the other in the thigh.
Oh, my God.
This isn't really an accident, but it was the bloodiest wound I've ever seen because he was stabbed in the femoral artery.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
It was horrible, and one of them earned a felony for turning horseplay into a crime.
Jeez Louise.
Danielle Leone, chef and co-owner of the Breadfruit. We serve these chilled, sweet, young coconuts. Illegal what? In certain states. I don't know. When somebody orders one, it gets sent back to the kitchen and we chop the top off. I guess it's like picking out your own lobster. Pick out a coconut or something.
A sweet young one.
Yeah, so you can drink out of it. Our sous chef turned his head to answer a question with the cleaver in hand and whack! The tip of his finger was dangling. We patched it up, iced and sewed it.
Not dangling.
I know, I'm sorry. God.
Dangling fingers.
Bernie Cantak, chef and partner, Citizen Public House. I was helping a bartender friend do a demo at a tequila festival, and he had the entire crowd around his booth watching as he mixed cocktails with various tropical fruits. We had a few coconuts. I don't know if they were fine, young, sweet coconuts, but...
Let's hope.
We had a few coconuts, and he decided to crack a couple open. With one coconut in hand held about chest high and a huge vegetable cleaver being swung at said coconut, lumberjack style...
Nope.
He cracked the first one open. On the second, he wasn't quite so lucky. The blade slipped off the side of the coconut and through skin, muscle, and right into the bone of his thumb. I had my back turned at the time, but he tapped me on the shoulder and said quite calmly, "Hey, can you pour some drinks? I cut myself." I asked to see it, and for the first time in my life, I said, "Dude, you need to go to the hospital." It was pretty horrific. Lisa Kanaisho, owner of Trist Cafe, while I was home preparing... this is what we were talking about. While I was at home preparing sliced avocados, I remember watching a trick on how to de-seed one using a knife. I tried to outsmart the knife. The knife won. I stabbed through my hand just under my forefinger. 18 stitches later, no more knife tricks for me, and I haven't eaten an avocado since.
So that's too bad. Avocados are delicious.
I know. So that's... I do that sometimes. I try, and then I... But you're supposed to... Stick after you cut the avocado, you're supposed to stick the knife into the pit to remove the pit. I'm assuming that's what she's talking about. Oh, maybe not.
My stepsister did that too. She held it and she did that and it went right into her hand. But here's what I do.
Yeah.
You can do that. Just have the avocado sitting on a counter, not in your hand.
Right, but you still have to hold the avocado still with your hand, no?
I don't.
No? Oh, you can just do it, and then you remove this.
And then I turn the knife,
pit,
pull it out, and then I use the back of a spoon to tap it out of the knife.
Here,
okay.
Can't you just grab it? Why do we got to use a knife?
The idea is
well, it won't come out.
Is it that stuck into
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, and okay. Also, you want to save as much of the avocado as possible. You don't want the avocado hanging onto the pit. So you're trying to just remove the pit.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just for some reason I don't grasp how tightly it's still in the avocado.
Do you eat avocados at home?
I have.
Yeah.
And I've done that, but yeah, I don't know why it's
all stuck in there.
It's really stuck.
Unlike a chestnut in its shell. It is stuck in there.
I mean, be careful out there, people.
Really? Seriously?
I've learned the hard way.
I know you have.
But I mean, also, I don't follow any of those kitchen rules with my kids. Really?
Well, they're not little toddlers anymore. Yeah.
But I do need to get those. They have aprons that are protective from like scalding water.
Oh.
They're sort of thick and they have like protective burn material in them.
That go over your, like around your neck?
Yeah, they're like full aprons.
For kids. Yeah. Or for anyone.
I think probably for anyone.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I got to get those. Those could be good Christmas gifts.
Yes, good Christmas gifts.
And I'm sure they have them in kid size, so.
Yeah.
That would be good to get those.
Yeah, I think they need
those. They'd be so excited to get those.
Yeah, they really would.
Not really, but it's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you should have Hanukkah, because Hanukkah's for the boring gifts. Like, I bought my son a blanket. That's going to be a Hanukkah gift.
I don't know if I'm allowed to have Hanukkah.
No, I don't think you are. Look, I'm not supposed to have Christmas. I have it.
Yeah, I think that's different, though.
Is it?
I think you can. Yeah. Christmas, everybody... I'm not Christian. And I'd have Christmas.
Right.
Who's going to tell me I can't?
Exactly. Well, I'm sure there are some people.
Oh, I don't listen to them. That was great.
Yeah, I know we covered some of that stuff before, but
we've all forgotten.
That's true. Yeah.
So thank you. Thanks for the fun info and the great stories.
Yes, and we will be back right after this. Don't hurt yourself on the break.
No.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to How to Survive. Christine, I know that you didn't have a great break because your eye is watering uncontrollably for reasons no one understands.
Maybe it's a new health problem.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Something to talk about then.
Put it on the list.
That's good. Yeah. So it's, it looks a little swollen.
Like I've been crying on one side of my face.
Well, you have to reserve, you get to a certain age, you can't cry about everything. You gotta parse it out.
I don't know.
Can't you? Or maybe you can. All right. Well, I hope it gets better. And if you have to leave in the middle of the record, we understand.
I'll just storm out.
Yeah. That'd be a first. We've never had that. Like a Jack Parr situation.
Drama.
Yeah. All right. Well, in the first half of the show, we talked about how to survive kitchen disasters. And now we're going to talk about how to survive waitressing with our very special guest, Paula Poundstone.
Very excited.
How are you? Hey, you guys. I'm good. I'm good. I'm very excited to rekindle my waitressing stories.
Yes.
It's a dangerous place.
We were all very... shocked that you waitressed. It seemed out of character somehow.
I was never good at it.
Okay, well, before we get into that, just quickly, I just want to say, because Paula, to me, is in the top, three comedians.
Thank you.
She's going to be performing at the Magnolia in El Cajon on December 22nd.
That is correct.
if you're wise, you will see her live. I have seen her live. She's a genius.
Get
I'm
your
just
tickets.
Say that.
Christmas yeah. miracle.
Yes, it'll be a good Christmas present for right? someone. Yes.
That would be a good Christmas present. Really Although they'd Christmas have to present. Open it ahead of time.
Well, then you get Jews. Just Hanukkah starts before Christmas.
Oh,
make that your Hanukkah gift, and then you're set.
You know, my kids and I one time went to Magic Mountain, I think it was. No, or was it the water? I can't remember. Uh-huh. But we went at Easter. And I said to them, it's a great, because we're atheists. I said, it's a great day to go because it's going to be nothing but Jews and atheists there.
That's right.
And I was absolutely right. Yeah. I literally saw yarmulkes walk. You know, people wearing yarmulkes.
Waterproof yarmulkes.
And I'm like, yeah, see what I tell you. And,
I'm
there
guessing
was
shorter lines.
Yes, much shorter lines.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody, Easter is a silly.
Easter's the worst.
It is. I mean, I liked it when I was a kid, but, you know, I asked my middle daughter the other day if she ever felt bad that we never celebrated Easter.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, I might have done it for you guys in a non-religious way,
sure.
but I was unaware that you had any passion for hard-boiled eggs. And my little daughter goes, they're hard-boiled?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, honey. You really thought that kids were looking for raw eggs? I guess, I mean, in fairness to her, it makes as much sense, I guess,
yeah.
except for, you know, the damage if you break, you know.
Eggs all over a yard.
Yeah. Well, or we used to do them
inside.
Yeah.
I still live somewhere cold.
I still remember my mother getting mad that I emptied a Kleenex box once because I thought there might have been one in the Kleenex box.
And she got mad.
My mother got mad about everything.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, she was an angry person.
Well, tell her to be a better hider.
Yeah, honestly.
Think outside the box, so to speak.
Yeah,
think
exactly.
Inside the
box. Could have been in there.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good hiding place.
See, that's why she didn't, that's why she didn't work at NASA. That's exactly why
that
she
That was
didn't
what
work.
Held her
because
back.
Because you got to say, you know, in the realm of possibilities, right?
Right.
In the wildest, but she really held me back.
Yeah. I, you know what? Screw her.
You know what I say?
Yeah. Chris has come up with this thing where instead of an L for loser on your head, you put a C for cunt. And she thinks that's socially acceptable.
Yeah, I think it could be.
I think it could work.
In certain places.
For certain
I
people.
Like it.
Listen, I would never say that about your mother.
Oh, you can. Yeah, I'm not.
But I do want to hear about you as a waitress.
Okay, so I waitressed in a couple of places. I was a hostess at the Bickford's Pancake House in Natick, Massachusetts. That was the first job I ever got. But I never made it to waitress. I admired the waitresses that I worked with. They were terrific. And it was a fun place. It was but then when I was 16, when I turned, the one thing I was told not to do was touch the microphone because it made no sense. One thing I was told not to do. And I could not touch the fucking microphone fast enough. You mean this microphone? This one? Is that one?
And
I could feel the whole table. It's like, what the fuck? The one thing we told her. Jesus. All right. So when I was 18, I took a Greyhound bus down to Orlando, Florida, because I wanted to be a bear in the Disney World Parade.
Wait a second.
What?
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
This was a dream?
It was.
You lived in Massachusetts.
Yes. And when you grow up in Massachusetts, you are raised to believe that Florida is the promised land.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. Because it's warm.
Yeah, and because over like winter break, the rich kids always went to Florida. They come back with, you know, sunburns and the like. And
did you want to be Winnie the Pooh?
No, I wanted to be Baloo Bear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that from Jungle Book?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very specific.
So specific.
I think it threw the people at Disney. How specific my dream was.
Did you have a particular affection for Jungle Book?
I love Jungle Book, yeah.
Is that your favorite?
And Baloo Bear.
Okay, you love
Baloo.
I mean,
he's just great.
Okay, he is pretty great.
Although, and I don't want to upset anybody, but what the hell he was doing in the jungle?
Because he's a bear.
Right.
Shouldn't be
there
in the jungle.
There are problems with... Yeah. There are zoology problems.
Yes,
with the
multiple
story.
Questions to be answered.
Yeah,
in this
right.
Whole scenario.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah. What's not to love about Blue Bear?
He's real cute.
Yeah, he's great. And I think look for the bear necessities is a great philosophy.
Yes.
So this is what I want to do. I want to be a bear in the Disney World Parade, and I got down there, Greyhound bus. I had no form of transportation. I had almost no money. And I had a big blue suitcase and a yellow, knapsack. And never occurred to me that I had nowhere to live.
And did your parents not care that you were the circumstances?
I was 18. I didn't ask them.
Okay.
I used to say to my kids all the time, I go, you know, when I was younger, people would say to me, well, what do your parents think about what you're doing? Uh-huh. I would say to them, I didn't ask them because I don't care. And I told my kids, you are welcome to take the same approach. You know, you make your own decisions.
Right.
My opinion is just that.
Right.
But you make your own
decisions.
But
what I'm asking is, I understand that you didn't care, but they didn't care. They didn't say, hey, you don't have a place to stay when you get there.
Well, I wasn't living with them when I was 18.
Okay, Okay, that's different.
And I had just, just turned 18. It was like, but I was living someplace else.
Okay.
So, all right, touch my microphone again. Sorry. Oh, God. It's so,
you're going to think of the whole
any
time.
Any kind of restrictions are really hard for me. Imagine how hard it was giving up alcohol. It's the one thing I couldn't do. Don't drink. Ah! I'm good now, though. So I get down there. I stayed in a cheap downtown hotel, which the Greyhound station was easily accessible to a cheap downtown hotel. And the first thing I did was take a bus. Orlando, every hotel, there's a bus service that picks
right.
people up to go. You know, they know which side of the bread they're...
Exactly.
I don't think that's the right expression. So I get there. All right. So I get there, and I think I still have my suitcase with me, I think. And I must have stored it in like a locker or something like that. And I find my way to what they call casting.
Right.
Behind every, innocuous looking fence at Disneyland or Disney World, behind every shrub, behind every, mm-hmm. Funny painted house, there's an office.
Right.
Right. It's a business, and then it has these rides. So I find my way to the casting, which I think was underground there, I think. I get to the guy who's going to do the hiring. I can't even believe I made it that far on the first day.
Did you have
an
appointment?
No.
So you just, obviously you didn't pay to get into Disney World. That would have been.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Although it was cheaper back then.
Sure.
I go to the guy, and I filled out the application. And under address, that's when it first dawned on me.
Yeah.
That I didn't have a place to live.
Okay.
And under address, I put my Massachusetts address. And so when the guy's looking at it, he's like, I see you live in Massachusetts. And I said, yeah, but I believed that they had some sort of housing for their employees there.
Yeah.
And the guy said, no, we don't. And I said, Todd, I could swear I read it in a magazine years ago, which is partly where the dream came from.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I just touched my microphone again.
It's okay. Don't worry
about it.
This
is exactly why I didn't get the job as Blue Bear. Because... The guy said to me, he said, don't touch anything on my desk.
But it's a pot of honey.
I would have been a bad Blue Bear because it was, don't take your head off. And I would have been constantly taking my head off. Like, hey, kids, it's really me, Paula. He didn't hire me. Aww. I know this comes as a shock to you.
Right.
He said the problem was that I didn't have a place to live. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get. So I took one of their employee newsletters.
Uh-huh.
There was a section in there of people looking for roommates.
Mm-hmm.
I became the roommate to someone from that employee newsletter because they worked at Disney. I thought, well,
so
I'll,
smart.
I'll
so
ride smart. In with them.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, wait till the part where I couldn't get out of the park. because they don't, you know, there's the driveway is 3 miles long.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to hitchhike on the driveway. So what I would do is I would, because I came back a few times trying to work this thing out. what I would do is I would get onto the tram that takes people out to the parking lot, and I would start talking to people on the tram. And, oh, you're from Connecticut. Oh, I'm from Massachusetts. Oh, you are. Oh, hi. And then I would say, and I need a ride out to the highway. And it worked every time. I got
Fantastic.
People to drive me out to the highway every time. All right. So I got the roommate situation with the person who worked at Disney.
Yeah.
And then I realized, well, the schedules won't necessarily match up.
Okay.
So then my next step was, okay, I'll earn money to buy like a bike so I can live with this guy and then I can bike to my job at Disney.
Right.
And here's where I really, okay, here's where some of my planning fell apart. So I start looking for a job. I walk all up and down the Orange Blossom Trail, which is a big road.
Okay.
Big commercial road in Orlando, and the only place that would hire me was the International House of Pancakes. And I think it's because when I filled out the application, I had some previous
pancake
house yes. experience, you know.
Yeah.
And I
she
like
knows pancakes.
I do, you know. And even when I was older and had kids, you know, we would occasionally have waffles. So I've kept my hand in it. So they hired me to work the graveyard shift.
Oh, God.
So I worked 11 at night to 7 in the morning at the International House of Pancakes in Orlando, Florida. And here's the part that I hadn't really worked out, which is you barely make enough money to live, let alone save up for a bike. All that was the runway to my International House of Pancakes job. Like
yes.
all that, you know,
yes.
all that talk about Disney World, that's not waitressing, for God's sakes. And I know a lot of listeners are so frustrated
it's
right
now. It's a prologue.
Now. Exactly.
It's you gotta, fine.
It's the prequel.
Yes.
It's the Better Call Saul.
There you go.
All right. So I get my – I was trained by a woman named Patsy. Patsy was from Georgia. She had a big yellow – I assume it was a wig in retrospect. But not a beehive exactly, but something damn near.
Okay.
Something pretty high
All
up,
right.
up on her head. Patsy had worked the graveyard shift, I think she told me, for 20 years.
Oh, boy.
Back in those days, there was a – there was another chain restaurant that was very inappropriately named Sambo's.
Yes.
And Sambo's was across the street. And she told me, she said, maybe she said she worked at Sambo's for 20 years. And she said she had some sort of a disagreement with them one night and came right across the street and got hired at the International House of Pancakes. She trained me. At the end of the training week, she said to me, there now, you've been trained to work IHOP. You can work any IHOP in the country. You know, the confidence and the pride that you feel, the opportunity, the doors that were opened that day.
So the skills transfer from one IHOP to another.
Oh, absolutely. The uniform that I was given... Some waitress before me had this uniform, even though I think I still had to pay for it, but I forget how much I had to pay.
You have to pay for your uniform?
I think I did, yeah. But another waitress had it before me, and she had done this. I don't know if you girls are old enough to remember this, but you could let a hem out if there was a hem there. But a lot of women that wanted to wear very short garments would just cut the fabric. And so there wasn't much of a hem to let out. And that's what the harlot who had this uniform before me had done. And so when I tried to let the hem out, there was no hem.
Right.
And they weren't going to give me another. This was the one I got. And this thing
is crazy.
Was just barely below my ass. And in this time... this would have been 1978.
Uh-huh.
In 1978, 78, when you worked at the IHOP, you had to wear pantyhose.
Oh, God.
And service shoes.
Right.
So I had a pair of white service shoes, and I bought a legs pantyhose.
In the eggs?
And yeah, I used to keep my money in the egg. And
your nest egg.
And the crotch of the pantyhose would spend the entire 8-hour shift working its way down. And it would often come below the hem of the skirt.
Oh, my God.
Which is a great look.
Did you just buy the wrong size or something?
Why? No, pantyhose were just like that.
They're horrible.
You know, and having grown up in New England, you know, we wore tights, but they were very thick tights.
Yeah.
And so I remember after church when I was little, there would be the church service, and then everyone was invited to go to the parish hall and enjoy coffee and juice. Yeah. And all the kids coming out of, you know, Sunday school, Sunday school overall was a miserable experience, and so we had a lot to run off after we got out. And so, you know, the parents would be trying to talk and have their coffee, and kids would be running around, girls trying to kiss the boys or whatever, just running around crazy. And I remember, and I've always thought they should have an Olympic event that involves this, which is the crotch of my tights would have often worked its way down to my knees by then. And that makes running a very big challenge. But I don't see any reason why that should not be in the Olympics.
I don't either.
I mean,
or it should have been back then anyways. Because it was a practical challenge that a girl had. All right. So the coffee cups at the IHOP were kept in racks. Like when they came out of the dishwasher, you didn't take them off the rack. You took the rack and put it on a wheelie thing, and then another rack on top of that, and then on top of a dolly, and another rack on top of that, and another rack on top of that, and that, you know. So when you went to set the tables, you took the top rack off. But sometimes you were down to one of the lower racks, and you know, here I had this dress that was so damn short, and I try to scooch myself sideways, trying to figure out. And finally, I would just get so frustrated that I would just, you know, spread my knees wide, get a good stance to protect my back, and lift the thing up. And I'm like, you know what? If this gives anybody any thrill, I'm happy for them.
So much the better.
Yeah. And you know what's amusing about all this is I think the reason a waitress would do that to the uniform to begin with was that idea that you were somehow going to get more tips.
Yes.
Right.
Because, you know, you were flashing a little thigh.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You know, I just can't. I think it worked backwards for me. I think I actually.
They're like, lower it. Is there any more hem?
There were guys I had to pay on their way out. There was one guy that would come in. He was an old guy. And we had, what do they call it? The bottomless cup of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody would order a cup of coffee, and you would bring out over that, remember that sort of bronze-colored thermal coffee pot with the black lid that flipped up.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring that over and you put that down.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So they have the cup and now they have this.
Yeah.
And anytime the pot got down, you know, they could wave me over and I would come, you know, warm it up or refill whatever. And so there's one old guy that would come, and it came at least once a week, and he would sit at the table literally all night long drinking a cup of, he was a lonely guy, you know, sit all night long drinking a cup of coffee. He'd come to see the crotch of my pantyhose. Sure. So I'll tell you, I increased the foot traffic in that place. And at the end of the night, he would, when he was getting ready to go, he would wave me over, and ask for the check. I put the check down, and he literally, I don't think he ever got anything more than coffee, maybe some toast, but nothing beyond that. And then he would pay, I guess he had to pay at the register. He would warmly press a dime into my palm.
Ew.
He insisted on giving it directly to me. And, I received it in the way that it was given.
Okay.
You know, he didn't think he was doing an insulting thing.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
For him, this dime was a big deal.
Okay.
And so I very much like the jailers when Trump was indicted, I would tear up. I would say, thank you, sir. And then I would say, you know, you don't earn a dime like this alone. I'd say I'd like to thank everyone who made it possible. The hostess, thank you. Thank you for seating him in my section. The chef, he had a vision. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One night I made so little money. I mean, my whole life it's running backwards in terms of money. But one night these guys came in, and I remember one guy had on a pair of overalls, but they were overalls in the young hip sense of the term.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, I served them their food, and I think I was probably somewhat entertaining to them. I did my job, and they were there for a while, and they were very sort of glib people. And I guess I had to be the cashier, too. So I would give them their bill at the table.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd go over to the, you know, because it was the night shift. There was only like two of us. So now I'm behind the cash register. like I'm a totally different person. Yeah. Like, you know, like, good. How is your service?
Change your name tag.
Yeah, exactly. So one of these guys takes out some onion rings from the bib. From behind the bib of his overalls. And he says, he puts down, I didn't understand what he was saying in the beginning. I'm not real big. I'm not fast on the uptake, that's for sure. So he puts these onion rings down on the counter near the cash register. And he says, I'll give you $5 if you can eat that. And I picked it up. And I was about to eat it before I realized what he was saying. He was saying that they were cold and hard.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
But I literally was like,
yeah,
$5? Thank you. Yeah. I just made a dime a minute ago. So this is...
It's a great tip.
You know, I'm not that good with math, but I think that's a big percentage increase.
Yeah.
And then I think they saw that I was, you know, about to... And then they, like, stopped me. And he explained that it was a complaint, not really a...
Dare.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
I could
so
go
funny.
Either way on that. I
yeah,
really.
Really.
Could go either way
you could
on
use
that.
$5.
So one morning, I'm, you know, I lived, I think, about four or five miles away. And I had no transportation, so I walked. I wasn't going to walk in that damn uniform. And by the way, it turned out, I didn't know this at the time. It turned out I used to walk by these women in dresses all the time on my way to work.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was the kind of strip of road where there'd be, I don't know, maybe some kind of sleazy nightclubs, but also there would be, like, rental car places or, you know, like a lot of strip mall kind of stuff.
Yeah,
not a fancy section of town.
Right.
I used to walk by all these women and dresses. Uh-huh. Not hard, not big clusters of them, but individuals in dresses. I never made much of it. But when I went to work, I carried my yellow knapsack with my uniform in there and my pantyhose and my service shoes. And then I wore my green corduroys and a turtleneck. And I also noticed at some point people would stop and ask if I wanted a ride. And I thought, well, that's oddly generous.
Uh-huh.
I usually said no, but yeah. I did at one point say yes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure at what point in the interaction that followed where I learned that those were hookers on that street.
Oh, yes.
And the person who asked me if I wanted a ride was an unusual John.
Who likes turtlenecks and green corduroys?
Yeah. And I don't think – I didn't even have like, you know, I don't even know if there were Nikes at that point. Uh-huh. But I didn't even have like – I had like these walking shoes, nothing. I mean, I couldn't have looked more downtrodden. And I was the girl for this guy. And I think when I realized – because he sort of reached across the seat at me – I got out of a moving car.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't moving fast. But I did get out because I was like, thank you, no.
Bye.
In fairness to the guy, I mean, he went to, you know, the hooker vending machine.
Right, yes.
And, you know, there I was on the top row.
Yeah.
You know, the guy punched my number and pulled the stick.
Right.
I don't think that he really did anything wrong. We just had
a miscommunication.
It was a big miscommunication. Then I started walking every night in a sandwich board that said, not a hooker, not a hooker. You know. Not judging, but not a hooker.
So how long did you last at this job?
Not long, like 3 months.
Oh, my God.
I was so homesick for Massachusetts that I came back.
So you gave up the dream of Baloo.
I did. I gave up the dream of Baloo Bear. I did, however, the next... I did get a job in Boston. So I went back to Manchester, Massachusetts, where I had been living with the family there. And... I started looking for an apartment in Boston. I found some place to live, and I got a job. And I got a job at a restaurant. I got a job bussing tables, which is my strength. But you know, still didn't make, you know, the money was in waitressing. So I worked my way up to being a waitress, which is something I thought I wanted. As it turns out, it's a horrible job. I much prefer to bus tables. But, all right, so I was waitressing one day, and these two women came in, and they sat down, and they were really rude to me. I forget what they said anymore. I don't know. But they were just not nice. And so, you know, you're supposed to get the drink order first. So I asked them what they want to drink, and they said, well, they each wanted a Coke. And we had the kind... the gun kind, mm-hmm, you know, the that mm-hmm kind, you know, you scoop in the shaved, the crushed ice and then. So I take them out. Excuse me, I have a chronic cough. So I take them out, their Cokes, and I put them down on the table in front of them. And then I go to step away and I go, oh, I'm sorry. And I come back and I switch where the Cokes are. So I take the one in front of person A and I put it in front of person B. I take the one in front of person B and I put it in front of person A. And now I walk away.
Hilarious.
And I thought, you know, what's the worst thing they could do, right? What are they going to call the manager over? And the manager's going to say, Paula, what'd you do? And I'm going to say, well, I just switched the sodas. And they're going to go, well, did you have them in front? I said, no, they're the same. I'll tell you something. You never, ever, ever mess with a waiter or a waitress. These people have your food.
Yes.
These poorly paid people have your food where you can't see it.
Right.
And even if you didn't do anything wrong, they're bored.
Yeah.
The likelihood of someone doing something to your food is high.
Really? I don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
Did you do
just
things?
I mean, I would never. Never. Okay. Never. I would never mess, and I wouldn't let anybody around me do anything either. Yeah. I would never mess with anybody because it's not the right thing to do. And because I sympathize that is a challenging job. But, you know, there are people who make themselves feel better about themselves by, you know, dumping on, people they think are less than them for whatever reason.
Did the women react when you switched?
Yeah.
What did they say?
Oh, they just they didn't say anything directly to me. I just, the looks on their faces, and it was like a really long time before they drank from their,
It's so funny. God, it's so funny. It's so subtle and weird. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, thinking back, I mean, I think I was still 18 then. I had some.
It's pretty ballsy.
Yeah. All right. One time, while I was working in that restaurant, we had this woman that came in one time, and if something goes wrong in a restaurant, I can't speak to every kind of employee, but I know about restaurant employees. If you break a dish, if if the cash register comes up short, right? You're held responsible for that.
Right.
The person, the cashier, has to, those numbers have to come out or they take it out of the pay of the cashier. So one day, this woman comes in. She has like a two-year-old boy with her. And where the cash register was on a, like a podium, you know, like a, I would say less expensive than the Sarah Huckabee Sanders podium, but it was like on a podium, probably more legitimate. And while this woman, so she hadn't eaten at the restaurant, she had a $20 bill. She says to the cashier, can I get two tens for this $20 bill? While she's doing this, her kid is banging on the podium.
Okay.
And I kind of glanced over because, I mean, I didn't have children at that point in my life. But it seemed strange to me that she was allowing this kid to bang on the podium this way. And she might have said something to him, but if she did, it wasn't much. And certainly it wasn't effective because he kept doing it. Mm-hmm. So the cashier is a little bit flustered, but she opens the register. She gets the lady the two tens. Now the woman takes out a dime and says, can I have two nickels for this dime? Now the waitress goes back into the drawer, and as she does this, the woman takes out of her bosom two $1 bills.
What the hell?
Takes the $10 bills, puts them in her bosom. And she's now the cashier lifts her head up to give her the two nickels, and the lady says, what'd you give me two ones for?
Oh, God.
And the cashier said, I didn't. I gave you two tens. And she says, no, you gave me two ones. You know, it's a stupid con because it's not a big payday.
Right. Yeah.
But so she, you know, goes back in, gives her, I guess, what, $18
more? Right.
And when they went to do the register that night, that we realized, you know, what the whole thing, I didn't see it entirely. I just saw parts of it. Uh-huh. I saw the kid do the bet. And so we're like, oh, so not that long after that, I imagine it couldn't have been more than a month or two after that. I'm in a Dunkin' Donuts. I'm on my way to work. And I thought, well, I'll get a donut for myself. Truthfully, probably two donuts. I think it was going to be a jelly filled and a chocolate honey glazed, but I don't remember. And the way this place is set up, there's the counter that you stand in front of to place your order, and the cash register was on the back wall. So the cashier turns entirely around. So there's a woman in front of me in line, and I can't remember. She didn't have the little kid.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember at what point I was like, oh, that woman. But she says to the cashier, you know, can I get two tens for this 20? And when I saw it happening, I had already, no, I guess she was behind me in line. I had already gotten my donuts.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I thought, you know what? I'm not letting this lady get away with this. This is not fair. So I stood there and I had this idea that, you know, when a criminal was foiled, they just folded and ran,
right?
Yes.
So that's what I thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be a hero. I put a stop to this injustice. So the poor cashier goes through, you know, said, what'd you give me these two ones for? And when the cashier, she said, what'd you give me these two ones for? Before the cashier could say a word, I go, she didn't. She gave you two tens.
Yeah.
And the woman turns around. The criminal, she turns around and she starts hitting me.
What?
Oh my God.
She says, I'm going to take you outside and beat the shit out of you. I am just shocked to death. And I'm deflecting blows with my arms as best I can. And she was so forceful when she said she was going to take me outside. That, you know, I think both me and the cashier thought, well, that's what's going to happen. I'm just going to have this shit pinned out of me outside. Nothing I can do about it.
Now unbelievable.
So the cashier grabs me by the arm. And so I only now had one arm to deflect. But the cashier grabbed me by the arm because she was like, you're not taking her outside to beat the shit out of her.
Oh, my God.
She says, I'm going to call the police. But meanwhile, I'm thinking, could somebody call the police, please? But she's got me by the arm. And I guess when she says she's going to call the police or something, now the woman storms off. She gets to the door, and, you know, I almost melt. You know, I'm like, yeah. Oh, my God. She gets to the door, and she runs back in and fucking kicks me.
What?
And then she leaves again.
Oh, my God.
And I just burst into tears. You never see that, like, underdog. Underdog never once cried.
No.
Never once. Oh. You know, Sweet Polly Purebred would let him drop, but...
Paula.
Yeah. So, and then I called. I went to the payphone. I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't. And by the way, did the Dunkin' Donuts say, like, hey, you know what? Let us get you. We get you something?
Right.
Nothing.
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 For
after
trying
that,
to be the hero.
I was just like an embarrassment to them.
Oh my God.
I was just sitting at a little counter by myself with my donuts, which I couldn't really eat because I was just sobbing.
Oh.
And you know.
Oh, my God.
Now I was just a deterrent to any of the other donut customers. I was a stain on the honor of the Dunkin' Donuts. And so I went to the payphone, and I called my job, and I'm like, I don't know if I can get there. I'm like a couple blocks down the road. I think somebody has to come get me. And I couldn't explain to them what had happened, you know, because it would just make me cry more.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. That is only a tangential waitress story.
No, but it was still good.
But it was a story of survival.
Yes, because for sure. You wouldn't have known that that woman was up to shenanigans if you hadn't been in the other place.
Yeah, exactly. It was tangential.
Paula, thank you so much
for
these stories.
Really, yeah. I think
unbelievable.
We've probably proactively saved a lot of people.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope anyone who is thinking of going into waitressing as a good idea will think otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, no, just you got to wear your armor.
Yeah.
You got to
wear
your protective equipment.
And if you're, you know, train at IHOP, you can work at any IHOP. I think that's important to know.
Yeah, that's true. You've been trained to work at an IHOP. You can work any IHOP.
You can, it is international.
You can travel the world with that.
Yeah.
It was international, and then Trump pulled us out.
He stopped the waitresses at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Paula, again, thank you so, so much.
It was really fun talking to you.
It's been quite a venture getting you on the show because of schedules and sickness and and everything.
I had the COVID.
You had the COVID.
Speaking of safety.
Christine had the COVID.
Oh, did you have the COVID? How was it?
It was real bad.
Yeah, me too. Brutal.
Real, real bad.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I got through it relatively quickly,
but the days I was sick were brutal. Yes.
And I did take the stupid Paxlovid. It is repulsive.
I've heard that.
You take it for 5 days in the morning. I threw it up on the second day, which leads me to believe that you could take it for 4 days in the morning. But it grows, makes your mouth feel awful.
And then did it come back?
No, it
didn't come back. Okay, because when Jimmy took the Paxlovid, then the COVID came back.
Oh, no. I have a dog, my dog Sirius, who is 14 years old. And, you know, probably not long for this world. And I think most of his teeth are just rotted out of his head now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sometimes his breath is so bad it's hard to be in the same room with him. But he did, sleep beside me.
Oh.
I think he was delighted because it meant I sleep on the floor. And when I'm, when I put the bed out, he has blankets to sleep
on.
So he wasn't going to get up. Because if he got up, I might fold the blankets. And he wouldn't have many. But anyway, one morning we wake up with our faces like kind of near each other, and he sits up and I sit up, and now our faces are really near each other, and I get a puff of his dog breath, and I'm like, oh, and that gave him a puff of my Paxlovid breath, and he's like, oh my God. Yeah, not worth it. You should have just tuffed it out. Next time, don't take that shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it made it, it was awful, but it did make it go away quickly. And I was so anxious to get back to work.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. So it's good.
Well, again, thank you so much for making the time for us, because I know you're a busy person.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you very much. It was really, really fun.
It was really wonderful.
And we will be right back with What Did We Learn Today?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Danielle.
Christine.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
So ready.
Paula Poundstone, our esteemed guest.
Yes.
Has a podcast, and it's called Paula Poundstone.
Nope. Nope.
It's called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Listen to it.
I'm going to listen to it.
I am too.
She's really funny.
So funny.
A hob is a flat metal shelf at the side or back of a fireplace, having its surface level with the top of the grate and used especially for heating pans. In Britain, a hob is a cooking appliance or the flat top part of a stove with hot plates or burners.
Right. Okay. Got it. I was like vigorously shaking my head. I was like, that's not what my research told me. And then I see that it is an expanded definition. Okay.
Got a knife in you? Refrain from removing the stabbing object if it is embedded. The object is actually helping to stem the blood flow.
Right.
Pulling it out will likely increase blood loss, while pushing it in may cause further injury.
Who's going to push it in?
You know what?
I got a thought.
You know what I need to do?
Push it in further.
You'll need to apply pressure and dress the wound around the object as best you can.
Okay.
Here's where Garen learned typing out a What Did We Learn section distracts from the urge to throw up during those injury stories. There are only three types of bears that live and survive in jungles. The sun bear, the giant panda, and the spectacled bear. Sloth bears, like Baloo, are predominantly found in the lowland forests of India and Sri Lanka. It is thought that they prefer rocky areas and drier climates.
Yeah, but they also like teaching boys how to be bears.
Nothing problematic there.
Is there something problematic there?
I don't know. It seems weird. What is this grown bear? Why is he showing so much interest in a young boy?
Well, now I see what you're getting at.
You know
what?
I see problems everywhere.
I know. I'm getting that.
Listen.
Yeah.
Everybody, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You know what? We do owe our listeners a Patreon shout out for members. And I want you members to know, if you're just chomping at a bit to hear your name, it is coming.
Yeah. Hang on to your hats and seats.
Hang on to your names. Don't change them.
Don't lose those.
Don't change them.
Don't change them. If you do, you better let us know you changed them so we have your new and updated name.
Right.
We just want to wait. We've been just doing such fat episodes.
Yeah, really.
Is the problem.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to you. Never you fear. Never you worry.
Our episodes have been 17 pounds fatter on one side than on the other.
Yes. But we do recognize how pretty they are.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time,
remain calm.